this morning, Lord. We're here because of You, Lord. We're here because You told us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. We're here, Lord, because here, where we gather together in Your name, Your presence dwells and abides. Lord, Your presence brings fullness of joy. It brings healing. It brings peace. We thank You for that this morning in Jesus' name. Now, Lord, once again, have Your way and Your will in this house today. We offer the sacrifice of praise, Lord. We worship You this morning, Lord. We pray that what we did was pleasing to You, that it was a sweet smell and a sweet sound to You, Lord. We thank You for this day, and now we thank You, Lord, that You're going to give us Your word and You're going to seal it in our hearts. And once again, we will never be the same. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise You, Lord. Hallelujah. My title, or the question that I have for you this morning, is, are you a character or are you in character? I'm going to let you think about that for a minute or two while everybody's getting settled. Praise the Lord. There are a lot of characters running around out there. Some of them are in the pulpit. You know, one of the things that always irritates me, I shouldn't say that, let me back up. It doesn't irritate me, it wounds my spirit. I guess you could say that's an irritation. Because there are people out there who have total misconception about who and what God is, and the biggest reason for that is because they don't have or spend time in the presence of God. They don't have or take time or spend time with His Word. Now, folks, let me make an observation right here. When you're operating or you're spending time in and with the Word, you're spending time with who, according to John 1?
Jesus.
That's right, the living Word. So if you're not spending time in the Word, guess what? You're probably not having fellowship with the Lord. You're probably not having fellowship with God. So you're open to all kinds of nonsense that comes because you won't do what the Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show yourself approved, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, where am I going with this? One of the things that I can't stand is the fact that people blame God for things that are not within His realm of ability or capability, or that is not, He doesn't have any of. We hear all the time, tragedies and things. This is one of the things that eats me alive, because every one of you here, most of you know that I love children. I love children. But I love people. And I cannot stand to see injustice and unrighteousness when it comes upon children or people. I don't like it. Again, where am I going with this? One of the things that has irritated me since I was a young Christian and finally got into real fellowship with the Lord is the fact that people go around and blame God for things that God had nothing to do with. He can't give you what He doesn't have, what He's not the author of. Amen? So, when you hear things like when some tragedy happens in some family where a young mother, young father, or a father, mother, period, or a child is taken into eternity, you hear something really, and I'm going to just be honest and blunt, ignorant. God just need another angel in heaven. Tie it outside. Tie it outside. If you spend any time in the Word of God at all, you know that there are two diametrically opposed and opposite characters and characteristics in the Bible. One is light, one is dark. One is day, one is night. One is righteous, one is unrighteous. Amen? Praise the Lord. And we know that there are two fathers listed in the Bible. One is the father of darkness, the father of all that's evil, the one who took a third of the heaven, or a third of the host of heaven, which means the angels, out of heaven, and the one who deceived mankind and forced them to operate in their... And when I say forced, I mean by their appealing to their appetites. You understand what I'm saying? To do evil against God, and thus sin came into the world. Well, we're not going to talk about that. Many pastors and counselors misportray and make foolish and false representations about the two. Okay? They don't have any idea because they've never spent time in the Word. What they teach is what they've heard by traditions and religion. How many know what I'm talking about? And they lead people astray. Hopefully this morning when we get done here, we're going to see the absolute difference and the myriad list of who and what God is as to the small, minuscule, and yet overwhelming opposite side. Overwhelming meaning that people get caught up because everything the enemy does appeals to our flesh. And our flesh left out of control or left uncontrolled, if you will, or kept in tow, follows those things because they feel good, which is talking about sensuality. Amen? Are you with me so far? You know, I'm sorry, there's no consolation or comfort when you tell somebody who's just lost a child or who's lost a husband or a wife, when you tell them something like that. You misportray who God is. You misrepresent God. They're already in a grievous state, and there's no comfort in that statement at all. Okay? And this comes from flat-out ignorance, and by ignorance I mean lack of knowledge of the Word of God, who God is, what God's about, His characteristics, and the characteristics of the One who is the author of death and destruction. Amen? Praise the Lord. When they say those things, it shows a total lack of understanding of who God is and His character. And it totally represents, and it takes that focus off of the One who is the taker in terrible circumstances like that, and His character. Turn with me, if you will, to John 10:10. We're going to start out with a very basic scripture that I would venture to say probably no one in this house is not familiar with. It says, "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy." Well, now that pretty well sums it up. So that takes that out of God's realm of responsibility or ability, doesn't it? Then we read Jesus' words that says, "I have come," and besides, this is all Jesus' words, and He's setting straight any misgivings or misunderstandings here. "I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." And since I see it there, I'm going to throw in the verse 11 that says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. He doesn't try to take the life of his sheep." Are you with me so far? Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. Proverbs 18:24. We just have a few scriptures, so I want to turn to those and make sure we're all clear on them. Proverbs 18:24 says, "A man who has friends must himself be friendly, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother." Amen. Praise the Lord. And then I want to read to you real quickly Ecclesiastes 7:12. "For wisdom is a defense as money is a defense. But the excellence of knowledge is that wisdom. Is that wisdom gives life to those who have it." Okay? God is a God of wisdom. Amen? God, through and by His Son, or demonstrated by His Son, shows us, and we know by the Word and by fellowship with the written Word, the Logos. I like what Richard prayed this morning when the men were praying. He says, "Let the Word go past our minds and go into our hearts." The Word of God. Amen? Who is God? What is His characteristics? First of all, He's Creator and the Giver of life. Now, I didn't write a lot of scriptures down for this. I'm going to challenge you. This week, I will probably go and, for every one of these thoughts, get scriptures and print them out and get them to you. But I want you to understand, this is what the Word says, and you know in your hearts. How many know that when the Word and the Spirit agree, So that brings peace when you hear it. You can agree with that. Amen? All right. He's the creator and the giver of life, the author of abundant life. That's who God is. Jesus is the high priest and our advocate. What's his job? What does he do? He ever lives to make intercession for us. Amen? He's the one who, because of God's plan, came and fulfilled that plan so that we could have that eternal life. And so that those things that would be held against us, or if you will, the violations of the law that we committed, were wiped away, covered, and never again to be seen by the blood of Jesus. Amen. What she said, glory. Y'all can get active in this if you want to. God cannot lie. He said, have I not said and will I not do it? He said, I'm not a man that I should lie, nor the son of man that I should repent. What I've said, I will do. Amen? God, through his son, listen carefully now, is the Savior. Of course, Jesus is the Savior, but you understand he is also God. Now, he left his deity, but he fulfilled the order and the plan and the desire of his Father, because God wanted fellowship with his man. So God really is the author of salvation. Jesus is the fulfillment of that salvation. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. He's our Redeemer, our Restorer, our Reconciler. Amen? Hallelujah. Somebody's trying to get more blessings. I heard that. God bless you. He's the Lord. He's our Father. He's our provider. I know what things you have need of, says the Lord, before you ask. He tells us in Jeremiah 29:11 and other scriptures that it's His good pleasure, it's His plan, His good thoughts to give to us everything that is necessary for life and godliness. Amen? He's our strength. He's our peace and our comfort. He's our Abba, our Daddy, our High Priest, our protection, our covering, a good friend and brother. He is wisdom. He's love, never ending. You understand these are the things that God is? There's not just a have them, but He is these things. Mercy and merciful. Once again, the Restorer, the lover of our souls. He's just and justice, as well as the justifier. Righteous, and He is our righteousness. He's our truth. He is truth. He's our shield, our strength, our joy, and our peace. Now, where in that would you come up with the erroneous, foolish, ridiculous idea that when some calamity happens, that God was involved in that? Where do you get this? Those are the kind of vain imaginations and things we're told to cast down because they exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. Amen? Now, on the other hand, 1 Peter 5:8, y'all are familiar with this one, says, be sober. First of all, be sober. Be vigilant, because your adversary, well, we know by study that he's not only, well, the reason he's our adversary is because he's God's adversary. And since we are the body of Christ, and he's the adversary of God and God's Son, the one who ultimately played right into God's hands to bring salvation to us. The devil, I mean, he's the one who fulfilled the plan of God. Do you understand that? You may not have looked at it like that, but he's the one who actually brought it to the place where God's plan was enacted and carried out and executed. And thus Jesus was executed, but he didn't stay there. So all he did was basically, if you will, step on his own hands. Amen? Be sober and be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about, now listen carefully, folks, like a roaring lion. He is not a roaring lion. What he is a toothless loudmouth. And all he has is his bluffs that play with our silly thoughts left uncontrolled by the Word of God and our vain imaginations, which we're told to cast down once again. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Seeking whom he can devour. Okay, if God's the giver of life and that more abundantly, and he's the devourer, then there's a dividing line here, is there not? The same dividing line that separated sinners from the presence of God, just like the veil did, and like the gulf that was made by the disobedience of man against God. Amen? Praise the Lord. So who is this father of darkness, which is what he is? He is a father also, but he's a father of darkness. He's an accuser of the brethren, of you and I. He's an adversary. He's a liar. The truth has never been in him. He does not have the ability to tell the truth. How many know a partial truth is not the truth? Okay, all right. He's a deceiver. He's a thief and a killer. He's a destroyer of life and all that is good. He's evil, and he is all that is evil. He's an enemy. The only thing that comes from him is hate and hatefulness. If God's a giver of life and that more abundantly, then where would somebody come up with the ridiculous idea that God just arbitrarily decides one day some little child needs to be killed in a car accident, or some mother or father or grandparent? Oh, yeah. Yeah, Mother Nature, an act of God. No, honey, it is not. Did you know he's the author of confusion? The worst kind of blindness is not the blindness of not being able to see with your physical eyes, but spiritual blindness. Spiritual blindness. He is darkness. And everything he does clouds truth and light. Jesus spent his time going around healing the sick, casting out demons, delivering those who were oppressed by demonic powers and by the prince of darkness. The devil is the prince of darkness. Just as Jesus is the prince of peace, the devil is the prince of darkness. This is why you have to spend time in the Word and in fellowship with Him, so that you'll be able to stand, like the Word says, and be one of His sheep that doesn't hear the voice of a stranger, but only hears the voice of the shepherd. Amen? There's many voices out there. We know the Bible says there in the last days there's going to be all kinds of people who are deceived. In fact, it says even the very elect will be deceived. You can't spend one moment, you can't spare one moment listening to or being involved in anything that does not keep you in the presence of God. Can I tell you something else? You can't afford it. I can't afford it. His mercy. He's the one who is merciful. He is mercy. His mercy is new every day. His grace. His unmerited favor. Unmerited favor. If you've been listening to the tapes on presence from Stan, then you know that God designed everything that He did so that His man, now listen carefully, I didn't say His creation, but His man could fellowship with Him. Unfortunately, there are going to be those, unfortunately a lot more who do not than those who do according to Scripture, who are going to choose to fulfill their own lust and desires, reject God. And there's the wide road is the one you'll see them on. And it leads to where?
Destruction.
But narrow is the way. He says, I'm the only way, the only truth, and the only life. And you don't get to God the Father except through Jesus. Amen? And that's a narrow gate. See, for you to get there, you have to first of all acknowledge your need for Him. You have to acknowledge that there is darkness and evil in this world, and that you now are changing your residence and your desires from that kind of thing to the light, where there's peace, healing, fullness of joy, wisdom, insight, understanding, comfort. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. If you don't know Him, where do you run when you're in trouble? Who's going to be your shield and your buckler? The enemy is the father of hopelessness. The Father, through Jesus, brings and is hope. Amen? And what does the Bible say about hope? It does not make ashamed. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Wisdom. I want to touch on that again. Doesn't the Scripture say He said, I would not have you ignorant? Praise the Lord. I listed only 10 things. There may be more. 10 or 11 from the enemy's side. And yet they're very, very powerful. And on God's side, and I'm sure there are some that I overlooked. Maybe you've already thought of some. There are 21 characteristics of God that I listed. Just 21. Just 21. And there's a lot more. God is good. And the reason He did everything He did is so that we do not have to suffer the things that were purchased by disobedience and by sinful flesh. Lustful desires. The things that choke the word, according to, I think it's either John, 1 John, or in Peter, I think it's 1 John. It says the things that choke the word is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And those are all characteristics that come from only one place. We're born into that until we make the decision to serve the Lord. When we realize that He is the author of salvation, He is the Savior of the world, He is the virgin-born Son of God. Yeah, the way of life. Amen. Is that you, Richard, that said that? Okay. Well, somebody. Okay. Craig. Very good. Praise the Lord. I remember when Craig came in here, sat back there, and God got a hold of him in a real way. Huh? When he came in here, for those of you who were here, you remember, he was lost and undone. He was... All he had was hopelessness. And when the Word of God, the living Word, stepped on the scene and revealed Himself to Craig, Craig's life changed. And we see the manifestation of that right here, just like in every one of your lives. Amen? Hallelujah. That fool lost another one. Glory to God. Glory to God. Yeah. It's okay to get excited. Praise the Lord. So in your everyday walk, when you're going about your business and when things happen in the day, I pray that the Holy Spirit brings to you remembrance the Word that's in you and the things that I've spoken to you today about, so that you can see and weigh. You know that God is balance? Satan is imbalance? You can weigh and balance what is from God and what direction you're going to go in an easier way than you ever have before. Doesn't the Scripture say follow after peace? And He is the Prince of Peace? Kind of sounds like the Scripture that says, okay, I'll tell you in a second. We'll go on. It was right there on the tip of my tongue. Anyway, but He's the Prince of Peace. And God tells us to follow after peace, which means we're following after Him. There goes, thank you, Holy Spirit. It reminds me of the scripture that says, I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. But I encourage you, choose life. He also goes on in another scripture to say, choose this day who you will serve or what you will serve. Just make a decision. If God's God, then you better serve Him. But if Baal's God, then serve Him. A lot of stuff there. Creator and giver of life, the author of abundant life. High priest and advocate. One that cannot and will never lie to you because he doesn't have the ability. High priest and advocate that ever lives to make intercession for you. Did you hear me? He ever lives to make intercession for you. We need to never forget that he's our Savior. Pulled us out of the muck and the mire, the degradation and filth of this world, covered us and cleansed us with His blood, put our feet on the rock. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Whew. How do you all sit there? I get goosebumps. I'm ready to shout and run and dance when I thinking about these things. He's the one who redeemed us, restored us, reconciled us back to our Father, our Creator. Our Provider. The one who's made provision for us. Do you understand that everything He does is for provision for you? Look out now. Woo, hallelujah. Your protection. His very name is a strong tower that the righteous run into and are safe. Glory to God. I'd have never known love if it wasn't for God. I'd have known a replication or a lookalike, but never known real love if it wasn't for Him. And what He did and His Word. How about you? Yeah. I've never known, and you would have never known what it was to be just and right and justified. To be righteous. Why are you righteous? Because the righteous one lives and abides, dwells within you. That's what makes you righteous. You don't have the ability. It only comes through a relationship and a life surrendered to Him. Hallelujah. I like it. And you would have never known the truth if it hadn't been for truth coming and standing right in front of you and revealing Himself to you. And you would have never known real joy or real peace if it wasn't for God the Father making the provision through His Son. Redeeming you from all of the garbage that is listed by the Father of darkness that is in His possession. I thank God that He even made the provision that says if you will resist the devil, he will flee from you. And that doesn't just mean just kind of scurry away with his tail between his legs. That means I like what a friend of mine said one time. He said, man, he said, that makes the devil, he'll the devil, he's fitting to get in the wind. He runs in stark terror. And you know what? I don't care what he demonstrates or what he tries to do. You have, what's the legal term? It's authority, but what it is, there's a term. It's right on the tip of my tongue. The power of attorney. Listen to me. You have the power of attorney to operate in the name and in behalf of the name of Jesus. At which and at whose name every knee bows and every tongue confesses. And that means even the father of darkness. You've been given dominion. You've been restored to dominion that was taken by the sin of flesh out of control. Amen? You have authority. And then God even gives you the wisdom to understand, don't rejoice that demons and demonic powers are subject to His authority in you. That's right. But rejoice that your name is in the book of life.
Amen.
Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We have been gloriously, absolutely, incredibly saved. Changed from mortal to immortality. And thank God, because He is the Savior and Lord, even though this flesh will pass away and return to the dust that it came from, we will never see death. Woo! Hallelujah! Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So today I ask again, are you a character or are you in character? In the character of one who lives for, loves, and serves the living God. The one who's worthy of all praise. Worthy of worship. And adoration. One who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. That secret place is not a place hidden, but it's a place where Satan can't get. So it's secret. If you will, we belong to an exclusive club or organization. And it's members only. Hallelujah. Members only. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And with all that, once again, comes the bestowal of power and authority to operate in and through His name. To operate in the very things that Jesus operated in. And what's more, He said, you'll not only do those things, but even greater things. Woo! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I believe personally this is part of rightly dividing the word of truth. This is part of it. Discerning the Lord's body. What He did. What God did. Through His Son. And then on top of that, the final thing He says, no good thing will I withhold from you. And the enemy, no bad thing will he withhold. Now if that's the case, and we know it is, oh, praise you, Lord. Then that means everything that's good, righteous, holy, is ours. We don't have to look for it. We don't have to hope for it. We get the full package. Salvation, sozo, saved from. Saved to and safe. Amen?
Amen.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. God's so good. And you see, the enemy fights these thoughts every day. Because if he can pull your thoughts away from these words, these truths, in other words, if he can pull you away from truth, He can get you so befuddled that you don't know whether you're coming or going. And that's, didn't we say he's the author and father of confusion? He's not only the father, he's the, well, father, author, to me it's all the same thing. We were authored by the Lord, we were fathered by God. I mean, you know, amen? Hallelujah. Are you encouraged this morning?
Yes, amen.
Hallelujah. Do you have some hope maybe you didn't have when you walked in this morning?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Once again, I refer to what Richard said. This is the cry of my heart for every one of us here today. So this goes past our silly little noggin. It goes deep into our spirit. Amen. Praise you, Lord. We receive your word. We receive you today, Lord. Your revelation. There's another one. He is revelation. Rhema. We receive that revelation today, Lord. We thank you, Lord. All things that are in character with you, Lord, we receive that today. Seal those things in our hearts, in our spirits, Lord. And today we reject the things of the enemy, every one of them, no matter what it is. Those things that are not in character with you, Lord, that are out of character from you, Lord, we reject those things today. You said, Lord, how will we escape if we neglect so great salvation? And today we see the greatness once again. Thank you for the reminder, Holy Spirit, of your greatness, Father, of the greatness of God and the greatness of His Son. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We cry out, have your way and your will in us this day and every day, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for fellowship with you, that we know that sweet, your sweet presence in our lives. Because of that presence, because of that fellowship, Lord, we don't hear or respond to the one that is not the shepherd, the one who's the accuser. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Praise you, Lord. All you have needed, all we've needed, His hands have provided. Great is your faithfulness. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Father, seal your word in every heart, and now I thank you because of your presence. Because of your revelation today, Lord, that every need, as we reach out and I send the word to every person in this place and every person outside of this place within the realm of the my voice on the tape, the CD, I send your word to them and say, be whole from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. Receive every need met according to the will, plan, and the execution of the plan of God for your life. Physically, emotionally, spiritually, mentally, financially. And I command every power of darkness in Jesus' name as we take authority over it corporately right now to follow the word. And we remind you, you must bend your knee and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. And we are now healed, set free, and delivered. Not partially, but wholly. In the name that's above every name, the wonderful name and character of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, we praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. Is there anybody here that has a specific need they want us to pray with them about? Praise the Lord. Yes, sir. Yeah.
Last night, or yesterday afternoon, Marie and I went to our daughter-in-law's 40th birthday. And there was a lot of people there. And I have, I had such a tremendous time there, meeting new people that Barry and BJ's friends, some of the people that they work with and so on. But Marie and I were talking about it last night when we got home and having our quiet time together. And in fact, it was about 3 o'clock this morning. We both woke up and talked to each other about something. And, you know, my heart went out to these people. There are so many that I watched yesterday that do not know who Jesus is, who God is. They have no idea. And it was funny. I wanted to speak before Bill spoke, and here he is talking about the character of people, the people that what they believe and what they don't believe. And it's sad. That's how they go around and trying to find love, trying to find peace, trying to find the hope that we have. Now, it wasn't the right time for a lot of those people there. It wasn't the right time for them to receive the word or to hear the word. But I'm praying that I get a chance to meet every one of them again, but in a different situation, a quieter situation, a more peaceful situation. And if they're in trouble, I want to be able to talk to them. And what we talked about today, Bill, that was a perfect message, good message. And I appreciate it because of what happened yesterday. And another thing that really blessed me yesterday was how many people loved my children. It was amazing. Lori was there with Alex, my son-in-law. Barry, of course, the center of attraction was little BJ. And what a blessing she is to us. And it was an honor for Marie and I to be there with all these younger people, half our age. And yet they accepted us with open arms, and we just had a tremendous time, tremendous time. We left about 8:30, which was late enough for us, but they were just getting started. Now, there was a few people that were already leaving, but we have been blessed by being with those people, even though they're not in with the word. Some of them are, but it was just a blessing for Marie and I to be there and to be a part of that party that they had. Praise God for Jesus and what he's done with our family. Ladies and gentlemen, I tell you, it is a joy beyond speaking about it. There's no words to describe it. Well, God bless you. Thank you for your time.
Would you go get Donna, please? I want to say something. I was reminded of, God's fun, you know, he's really fun. I was reminded of an old country song. I can't even tell you who sang it. I'm putting out a challenge for those of you who write music. I'd like to see you rewrite the music to this old country song. Looking for love in all the wrong places. Looking for love in all the wrong faces. Amen. People can't find it because they're looking in the wrong place. And sometimes, shame on us, we conceal that love. We may not even be aware of it, but sometimes we do. Amen? Hallelujah. By the way, I'll give you a little testimony. With that, we'll bless the food and we'll have our fellowship. And I thank you for all being here today. I thank God. I already know. I'm not going to ask you if you were. I know God blessed you today because he blessed me. Praise the Lord. But a young man came to me, was sent to me this past week. I say young man because he's younger than me. For those of you who don't know, I just turned 56. And anyway, this young man came to me, and I say young because, like I say, he's younger than I am. But he was in the Air Force. Came in with his nice kind of cream-colored tie with gold writing on it with the cross and Jesus' name on it. And we're sitting there talking. Of course, I was able to share with him a little bit. And then yesterday when I got a phone call 6:30 in the morning saying, I locked the keys in the fire command center. So I got to get up and rush down there. But we got a chance to visit some more, and he got a chance to see and get to know me a little better in the time that we talked. And his comment was, thank God for someone who openly lives their faith and who's not ashamed of it. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. So, but the point is that God put somebody there who is a Spirit-filled, born-again believer. He's a drummer in another church. His name's B.T. West, and he is one fine young man. Amen? And just to show you God's favor, from what I understand, and you understand this is not because of me. This is not because of me. I didn't have any hand in this at all. I just received the blessing that God sent. For the first time in the history of that building, from what I understand, every security shift is now covered with people who are competent, reliable, and know how to and have good work ethic. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah. So, I mean, God's good. Amen?
Yeah.
So, it's exciting. I've never told anybody here, but also the little day porter, I'm going to say young man, he's Hispanic. And yet he comes in there every day with the love of God in his life, in his heart, happy, always lifting up good words, you know. And it's fantastic. I love it. So it's kind of funny how we sometimes get a little concerned about things because we're not sure when we should be just resting in the peace of God. Amen?
Yeah.
And knowing that, you know, we have favor. Amen? Praise the Lord. So I thank God for those, for that, the ones who are His, and the ones who at least are responsible to fill positions that have really not been filled since the building was opened. Amen? God sent good people. Imagine that. Praise the Lord. Anyway, Father, we thank you for the fellowship and this time today. We thank you for your word once again. Now, Father, we sanctify the food by your word in this prayer. And now we receive it with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.